is the experiment.
Today's guest hails from Orange County, California. He's been here before. You loved him before and you'll love him now. He's still surfing. He's still making music. And now we're in the mountains.
Yeah, we took a crazy drive up here. And like, I don't know if you can go behind me, but this look is nuts, dude.
I think they can see it.
Los Angeles is that.
It's the best.
And I think there's just something humbling about just being in the wilderness. It's just nice. You kind of forget about it because it's just crazy again to think that like one of the biggest cities in the world is just right there. 35 minutes this way, and we're just like on this huge mountain where you just feel very removed from it. And it's so close.
And so many people have lived out here for so long and don't take advantage of this part of it.
I just think they don't know it exists.
Yeah.
Which is cool because, I mean, there's still like a lot of people up here and a lot of people are hiking and doing everything. But there's something that, because like I obviously growing up in Orange County, like my mountains are like still part of this mountain range, but like that way. So you got like Big Bear, Mount Baldy and stuff. And like they felt like, I feel like I get like that whimsical child thing coming back right now when you feel the wind blow through the trees and everything.
It's
just
the
like
best.
You're like, oh, this place is nice.
Yeah, there's something about just being somewhere where everything is so much bigger than you that kind of puts everything else into perspective
a
little bit.
The ocean or anything that's just like, cause I don't, wherever there's not a lot of people, then you're like, whoa,
land?
Where?
Yeah. And I'm sure there's going to be a good amount of people walking by.
Scared. We're doing our best with our chairs right now. This says,
I'll take it.
Rocks.
I'll take it. This is the rock.
Yeah, but we're back 3 months later.
We're back. It's been a while since I've done one of these. And I was just waiting for my head to be screwed back on straight. But I feel like I'm at a good point, and I'm excited that the first one back, first of all, gets to be in the place where I spend most of my time and with somebody I spend a lot of my time with.
So true. Here we are in the mountains.
So give us an update on what's in the life of Ashes to Amber.
So the life of Ashes to Amber is pretty interesting right now because I'm in that mode again where I'm doing my yearly album going on right now. So there's just been like a lot of like working on the different songs, getting everything ready, and we're kind of finished with everything, but something still feels a little incomplete, and I'm not sure. I don't think it's a song thing, but I think it's like more of a cohesive aspect. Like all the songs sound very similar, but they're not like very like, I don't know. There's like a, you know, like when you listen to like a good album, there's like interludes and there's like other things that are like make it and shape it just a little bit more. And I'm from like the ear candies.
Yeah. Yeah. The something that kind of like, that kind of stitches all the pieces together to make them one unit.
Yeah. There's just something that's like missing. So like, I'm going to really like dial in for the next like 3 weeks to just see if something crazy happens. I'm not sure. But yeah.
Not to speak too much on it, but the interlude that you do have is going to be very exciting for people to hear.
Well, I'm treating it, the whole like album concept is like, this album's like very live sounding and all my stuff's like very DIY, I made it myself pretty much. So now we're tracking everything live and there's all these other different aspects. Like that's why I'm like treating it like, this is a live show. This is the live Ashes to Amber experience. The American Junkie coming to a studio near you kind of thing. And I feel like that's how you could like treat it too, like going on tour and stuff. It's like this American Junkie experience. So I think I just want to add more of like that welcome to the theater kind of aspects, like more like popcorn. It needs more butter and it needs more like, you know, movie theater things.
Just something to make it this like theatrical experience.
Yeah. But like an actual theater like things. Like I feel like. Like how like the whole like going to the lobby, like let's all go to the lobby, let's all, like I want some shit like that. Like I want the music videos to have like popcorn dudes.
Some show tunes involved.
Yeah, and they have like their costumes on, they got popcorns coming out of the heads and they're like doing that shit. It'd be sick.
So are you doing music videos for this album? If so, how many?
I'd like to. I think we're going to do like 3. But right now I'm shooting music videos to make up for time from the last one, the My Little Maniac one that had come out that we talked about previously. Yeah. So like everything in that regard, I'm trying to shoot for like, you know, back to that stuff.
I feel like that's cool though, because it gives you time to work on something that maybe you're a little bit past as far as.
Yeah, I think it just gives life to like things that came out. I feel like I might have talked about this last time, but I feel like everybody wants to do things that like exist in the now. And I think there's really nice things about putting life into things that have already existed and people like, you know, like somebody like could have liked this song and maybe they used to listen to it every day. Now they listen to it every other week. Maybe they only listen to it once a year, but then you drop something like that and it kind of like rejuvenates, like, oh my God, I used to listen to this song. And like now there's like this imagery and stuff to it.
And I think people forget that the experience as an artist that you have where you put so much effort and time that was kind of like under the iceberg. And then people finally get the song and they see the top of it and they might still be diving into it. Wow, what an eclectic group coming.
Yeah, they're ripping.
Dude.
Holy, is that a nun? That's so sick.
A nun in the mountains. I did not expect to see that.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot not expect everything. I wish you could do a pan though. This is electric.
This is...
It's also getting hot.
It's getting really hot.
I was hoping we could get some snow. Imagine if it was blizzarding right now. We're like, we're here live reporting.
2 weeks ago, it was like 20 degrees up here.
Really?
Yeah.
We're at like 4,000 feet.
Yeah, we're pretty high right now.
This might... We should do the high... I think it should be a bucket list to do the highest podcast ever. I feel like it'd be an absolute vibration.
I think I've done, by past 150 episodes, is the highest podcast ever.
Well, I mean, true, but I mean, like, elevation.
God, if so you guys can see what's on the other side of the camera right now. Hello.
So sick. I wish I was a nun sometimes. Mary Jesus. It's crazy. Pun intended?
I've never seen...
Mary Jesus?
Oh, look at that.
Like his mom.
Getting all biblical on us.
Yeah.
I've never thought that I'd be sitting in the mountains doing a podcast and see a nun walk by on a hike.
Yeah, look at this, huh?
She's got to be overheating.
No, you can't overheat for Jesus. he's walking with her, I think.
We were talking about your music videos, and I feel like so many people give up on their music right when they finally give it out because they've seen it for a lot longer than other people have.
Yeah.
And I feel like you kind of owe something to these people that are enjoying it and giving their energy towards your music to give them more parts of it, not just because you feel done with it. Like there's parts of this that obviously you do for yourself that's super important, but there's parts of it where you do for your fans and you do to keep them engaged and excited on something that maybe they're not past yet.
Yeah, and like kind of... I'll see if I can pull this conversation to what you just said. But on the drive up here, I was talking about how the whole Ashes to Amber experience feels a whole lot different than what I would expect to see from like an artist living their things and doing their things that are doing somewhat pretty reasonable within the music front. Is that like, I think I'm able to just create this thing that those who want to participate and be a fan, then you get like these little new intrinsic things that you might like having effort put into something that you used to listen to a while ago. And like, maybe like your favorite songs aren't the ones coming out. Maybe your favorite songs are the ones coming out. Hmm. And I feel like there's like, I don't know. There's just like this whole thing where it's like, it's all over the place. It doesn't have to follow this direct path about this song came out here. And then these are the music videos for that. Like I could stop doing whatever and then just like come back to it at 50 years old and just like film a music video for a song that I wrote when I was like 18. That'd be so sick. And I'm just like 50. So I feel like it's cool to just like keep a good headset on.
Absolutely.
It because you don't need like, I don't know.
You also like, if you watch this often, you saw the last Ryan Oakes episode. He talked about three of his songs this year blew up. And they were all like 5 to 6 years old.
And, so sick.
And he was saying how maybe the ideas of them aren't, they aren't congruent with who he is at this point, but it doesn't mean that they're not still very important and valid for people listening. And
so like who he was and what he did, you know?
Yeah, who he, what he did.
You ever seen that episode of Key and Peele?
No.
Who he, what he did, huh?
But I think that there's like, it's kind of how you make sure you keep your fans too, is to allow them to dive into the experience as long as they want without you taking the validation of a song that maybe isn't your newest song away from them.
Yeah, and then, yeah. Like, the new stuff's cool. I hope people like it a lot. I like it a lot. And like, there's just like a lot of different aspects to everything. Like there's some silly songs, but they still sound cool. And there's still some songs that have that old Ashes flair. And there's also a song, there's one of the first songs I ever wrote that I finally finished that I wrote in high school for like a promposal thing. And it's actually coming out. Sent it to the girl that I asked to prom.
Oh, that's the video you posted where you were playing it.
Yeah.
At school.
Sent the new one to her and she freaking digs it. So at least like I know the OGs are like chill.
They're
with
still
the new
kicking.
Sound.
That's so cool.
Because I think there's something so nice about the stripped Ashes sound, but like there's also like could be something really great about this new live sounding sound.
Yeah. And kind of like what we were talking about earlier and what we were talking about on the way up here, I think it's a cool thing to talk about, which is you were saying how sometimes you don't, because you do a lot of this on your own and you do this the indie route, you don't get the validation or that feeling of having this posse and this crew around you of agents and A&Rs.
Yeah, and like an entourage and all this like cool wearing sunglasses indoors vibe.
Hey there, hey, how are you? And there's obviously two sides of the same coin there, where a lot of these people, and this is what we were talking about on the way up here, a lot of these people who have these A&Rs around them and all these people who are part of the team, those are also people that when they are in the studio and you're giving your all and you're giving your art to the world, are going to make choices that maybe don't align with who you are and what you want to share.
It's true. And also at the same time, it's just what you define as success, you know? I think it's just like the hardest thing to do as like an artist or someone is to like exist. Is there gold in this? Doubt it, but there's little sparkly guys. Swear, take a look.
Did we just find gold?
Heavy, so nuts. Mining. The little sparkles in there? No?
Yeah, I think that's quartz.
Sorry. Do you like quartz?
The quartz are cool.
I got super angry about the quartz.
That's
concept.
Okay. It would be cooler if it was gold.
Anyways, hold on. Give me a second. I think that I was about to say something with what you define as success.
Yes.
And there's different ways, because when you're an artist and you're doing something in a creative world, I feel like there's already this path of success defined for you. Like, you get the Grammy, you get the car, you get the girls, and you do this whatever thing. But, like, it's hard to not... Like, I know everybody is like, no, that's not for me. I'm going to do my own artistical thing and go my own artistical path. But it's hard to, like, actually realize and be like, wait, I can define success in my own way. And I have to... the hardest part is just believing in that.
Yeah.
Believing in, like, what you thought was successful in your eyes. Like, there's a lot of things where I'm like, I've done everything I could want to do. And then you get to another step and you're like, I want to keep doing more. So it's like, is it an ever-changing thing that you view as success or not? But, like, at the end of the day, as long as, like, somehow you can, like... be kind to people. It's going to sound super, super like I'm trying to sell out, but this is true. But it's like at the end of the day, if you're doing something artistical and you have that grateful opportunity to do something like that, if you can be nice, give back, and still buy food for yourself, then I think that's pretty freaking sick.
I completely agree. I mean, the fact that you get to your work throughout the day, part of it is just practicing guitar.
I wish.
You
practice
a lot. That's
like my free time. That's what I do for like breaks.
But the fact that that's part of your breaks, and that part of your breaks is not walking around some warehouse having to go back and package boxes.
God bless those people. But yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and that's a different life, and nothing wrong with it. But the fact that what you get to do is on your free time is practice and play and do all the things that you'd be doing anyways, kind of
right,
gives
exactly.
light to the reason you're here in the first place.
Yeah, you just got to keep building that craft, because I think that's the one thing that's like guitar is interesting from like writing songs, because I feel like people are good at like, I feel like I'm pretty decent at writing songs, but at the same time, like, I feel like guitar, there's like it's an easier route to get better at something. I feel like you can write the same kind of songs and like eventually one will be like really sick. Like if you write like 20 songs, like maybe one of those 20 is like is the freaking money shot one, the banger McSpanger, the fucking Shoosty Magoosty of like the bee's knees. But with guitar, like there's just like a practice regime. Like you get good and then you're like, oh wait, I can do this now and learn sweep picking and do all this other stuff. So I feel like it's like different in a sense that like you can like continually, there's like an easier path to like get better, become more successful at what your thing is. But can you define that again? Maybe success playing guitar is making people smile. Maybe success of being guitar is freaking ripping pentatonics or being like Andrew Fingelberg or whatever his name is. Finkelton.
Dude, he's so cool.
What's his last name?
Fuck, I don't know. I'm sorry, Andrew.
He's so dank though.
So good.
He's such a nice beard.
It's such a nice dude and such a passionate musician. But I do disagree on what you were saying prior. I think that everything that you do, no matter what vertical or route you take, it works the same way. The more practice you put in, the more confident you get in your skills, and then the more tools you have to utilize when you're actually doing your art and making your music or doing
your job. Oh, yeah, I agree on that front. I just think some things, there's a bumblebee. Now it's on me. What up? You want to join the podcast? Come here. Come on. I have a question for you. Where's he at? Buzz. Where'd he go? He didn't no like problem. That. Maybe I said something.
He wasn't having it.
I think it's just like some things have like a more clear defined path than like other things. But I think I'm on the same page that the more you practice, like the more benefactors you get into like your craft, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like, I don't know, like if like bike ride, like for like this might be like a perfect example. Like they're riding bikes. If you want to get better at riding bikes, you ride your bike more, but you find new paths, you know? It's like easier to be like, I'm going to go ride on that mountain.
Not just
whereas like if you're like writing songs, you're like, damn, who do I listen to? What do I do? Like, but if you just put in some work, then you get there, you know?
How many songs do you think it takes on average for people to write before they write a good one?
Like, you can just be good at it. I know people that, there's just so much different kinds of art, you know? There's like people that make indie pop music, and there's people that make like all this crazy pop music. And I think people can just like write a good song off riff. I mean, there's random people that don't even take music seriously that I went to high school with, and they're just in their garage and they'll just like sing a song. And I'm just like, holy freaking smokes, Batman. That was great. But like,
yeah, that's
some
true.
People need to like, I don't know.
Yeah, I have a couple of buddies. My buddy Jack and my buddy Jake are like, they both do nothing artistic work-wise. And then they both sit down and I'm like,
you're so good.
They're more creative and excited to do shit than I have been in a long time.
And yeah, I think that begs into another question of just about creativity of when you're in an environment where you're forced to do it, it's just like you lose Taoism. Taoism's so sick, just the art of the flow. When you're just talking and having a thing and not thinking about things, that's when greatness happens. And once it's a job, I think those who become the most successful somehow can still channel Taoism at that point where you're just like still flowing. And like you're also just like creating.
So what is your experience like, at least?
Fuck.
What's like the average experience, if you have one, of when you're going, sitting down to write a song? Is it like, I'm going to write a song, or you just go to fuck around and you end up finding something that works and building off of it?
In the past, somehow it just kind of flows out because I'll just be in some emotional state. So I already have all this pent up like songwriting that I want to escape from me. So like it kind of just comes out. But like with these past songs, this album, I've been writing with other people that weren't me. So I'm writing with a producer, and then sometimes we'll bring in a guitar player and some other people. And I just feel like the song feels less me sometimes, which isn't a bad thing, you know, but it's just different. So I feel like it's harder to write lyrics recently because I feel like I didn't write everything.
Mm.
So it's like pegs.
Do you feel like the like lack of connection to it?
I don't feel a lack of connection to it. I feel a lack of connection. Whoa. Yes, I do. But I don't feel it in the sense of like how it feels to me, because I still wrote a lot of these songs. But like it just feels like it's just like in a different setting, because before it's just me and a laptop and a microphone and like a pen and a paper. So that's just something so like grounding about that experience, instead of being like on the spot where if I didn't write the song and then there's all these other people here and like, you know, there's just like something.
Yeah, a little bit more rigid in the influence.
Yeah. So like this is an interesting album to me. I really love it. And I just think that like, I'm at a point in my career where I'm just going to keep releasing music, and I just hope people like the American Junkie a lot. And it's just supposed to be this live aspect show that's welcome up, sir. It's nice up here.
It is nice.
We're just standing and potting, bro. I just want people to understand that the American Junkie's kind of written about more silly love stories and everything. But at the same time, it's also written about just like the current state of just the world and such. I feel like a lot of people want to write about that. But I feel like every day, everybody's like this, freaking dialed in on their domes.
But I think that something about your music that kind of gives people more than one opportunity when listening is the fact that your music comes off as very exciting and fun and happy, but with the guise of having really legitimate conversation behind it. And I think that's kind of something that you're mastering, is the ability to be honest and raw in your music without making it feel like it has to be this somber kind of drowning experience. Like people can dance to your music, but they can also go home and listen and have this experience of like growth.
Yeah, there's so many different stuff. Like, I love this bee that's just chilling on you.
I know.
Little Frederick.
Oh!
Yeah, it's Andrew's last name. What if this is Andrew and he's in a bee form?
He's here in bee form.
Dude.
Is that what you do all week, Andrew?
Yeah, he comes up here and flies around.
Dude, this guy's all over me.
I think he just likes the colors. Or maybe he knows that you know too much about the clouds and the government. He's in on some
cloud seeding.
The government's putting stuff in our clouds, I guess.
Dude, we're just wandering up here, and the fall would be so sketchy.
Huh?
The fall up here would be so sketchy.
Yeah, you'd die, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, there's another route over here for the river.
Yeah, we're looking at water over here. Welcome to the podcast. So, yeah, pretty much, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a weird space in my life. Things don't feel the way they used to feel. I still have a good time, but maybe there's just something changing with the songwriting. And I think I have a lot of free time this week for once. I'm just going to sit down and really listen to the project and have connections to the thing, because I don't want to release something just to release something. But I love the concept of the American Junkie. It feels cool, has a cool name, has a great album cover, and the songs are awesome. But maybe not everything makes the cut, or maybe everything makes the cut. I think I just got to re-listen to a lot of songs because I've been busy. But
I think also it sounds like your past projects you felt less precious about.
Precious?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, from my experience and just talking to you about some of your other projects, it felt like some of your older ones you were less worried about the I don't even know what the right word is, the consistency of the whole project. Like, you were just kind of, you understood that the next, you're going to put out more and you're just going to keep putting out more. So it doesn't have to be this end-all be-all project.
Right.
Like this one.
Oh, well, I mean, this one's not really an end-all be-all project, but it's just got like this new flair to it because Danny's gas and like, it's like got this whole like new like sound of completeness, you know? So yeah. Like, I don't know. I think what's going to happen is I'm going to go home again and just think about these songs. And then see what happens. You know, maybe the American Junkie never comes out. Maybe it does. It probably will.
It really should.
Enough about the music talk, though. Let's talk about this.
This is where I spend as much time as I possibly can for a very, very long time.
It's also cool because you can see the actual, like, grid. It's kind of interesting to look at how, like, a city is mapped out. Like, I don't know if, obviously, you can't really see, but there's, like, roads and such just chugging through the... Dude, the world. What city is this, huh?
I think that's Palmdale.
Palmdale?
Yeah, I think LA's on the other side of the mountains.
Palmdale?
I believe so. I might be wrong.
Palmdale's in the boonies, bro.
Yeah, but the boonies is right behind the mountains.
No, that can't be Palmdale.
Yeah.
Because that's Catalina.
So then that's LA. So I'm backwards. That's also very possible.
Catalina is so interesting. It has its own ecosystems. It has its own wildlife. And it's just out there.
Like, and a separate
just,
climate.
Yeah, it's just interesting to think that there's... I wonder what it was. Like, was it just... obviously, it was attached, but was it like a...
Was it? I mean, a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it had to have been attached.
Yeah, I guess there was no volcanoes over here.
No, yeah, it was definitely attached. But I'm thinking, like, was it a land bridge? Or maybe it was just like a valley... And then that was like the peaks of the other side of the valley. And then the ocean started coming in and it just drowned out the valley.
You're talking like long time ago, like post
1940s. Yeah, I'm not talking the 1940s. Like, I'm talking like way back when.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you been to Catalina?
Yes.
Is it amazing?
It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's very desolate. It feels, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's interesting because like the geography is so California. Like, you'd be on Catalina, it looks like this. It's just like very mountainy, and like it just looks like it just like a piece of the chunk was taken and then just like placed over there.
I need to go there.
They've got great white sharks. They have good fishing. Dorado. Just go freaking trolley on some kelp patties. Get yourself a Dorado. So good.
Trolley on some kelp patties.
Sounds so California.
What's
Jolly on some kelp patties.
What's the other one that's over by Malibu?
It's still Catalina.
There's a second one, or maybe it's up by Ventura.
There's like eight of them. There's San Clemente Island, which I'm pretty sure is the farthest one offshore. And there's actually one way off there that I don't know if it's still on the same bank, but it's called the Cortez Bank. And it's like 100 miles off the shore of Santa Ana, or not Santa Ana, San Diego. And it's crazy because like the water depths will be like, I don't know, 10,000 feet deep, 20,000, like super deep.
Oh, wow.
And then you get to this shelf 100 miles offshore of California. And it's like, I think the lowest point on low tide would be like 5 feet deep. So it's like, it's just like a big island, just like Catalina, but it's just under the crest of the water. And I think a couple years ago, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, there's fishermen on a boat and word got out about it. So occasionally people will go out there, some maniacs, and we'll go surf on this shelf out there, 100 miles offshore.
Have you done it?
No. It's hot news. Like, it's like, only breaks when it's huge.
How big are those breaks?
We're talking like 80 foot faces. Like, it's gnarly. Like, and it's, you're way out there, so you're at the elements of the ocean. Since it's an island, you got swells coming from all different directions. It's not just like one peak. So like it's radical out there.
And you wouldn't surf something like that, would you?
No.
What's the largest face that you've
probably like
shredded?
12-foot face, 15-foot face.
It's still crazy. So how big is that wave then? 20?
No.
Or is that?
That was like a 15-foot face. That was probably like proper like 6 to 8 foot Hawaiian surf. And I was not comfortable.
Have you been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
Have you surfed there?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Good times. You got to go to some places and be respectful And you'll find yourself a good wave. If you're nice to the ocean's nice to you. Speaking of which, on May 17th, in the city of Huntington Beach, I'll be doing a beach cleanup at Huntington State Park. Please come. We ask for a $5 donation for supplies. And yeah, you're just going to come up. We're going to hang out. We're going to collect trash. We'll get food. It's a really easy thing. And then we remove the trash from the beach, and then we all go home. There you go.
So what? Where did this kind of love and lust for the ocean, but also like protecting it, come from? Is your,
I don't know.
Like,
I can't tell if it's fake or not, but like, I just, it just feels like something I need to do.
I mean, you surf. So that,
yeah, I mean, I surf a lot, and like, it's like one of those things where it's like, I don't love it. I don't love picking up trash, but I feel like I need to. So I do it. Like, I feel like it's weird. Like, for example, like one time I was surfing, there's like a gross ass, like, I don't know what it was, but like maybe it was a diaper or something just floating, like just like in the water. I don't even know what it was, but like it was super dank. Like the waves were super dank. I was like, fuck, what should I do? And so I just like grabbed it and just went in, threw it in a trash can, and then paddled out again. So it's like my brain was like, don't, why? Like, just let it kill a turtle. And then my brain's like, no, you can't let it kill a turtle.
So it's not a straw. Only straws kill turtles.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know if I like it.
No, but there is like an inherent kind of cringy feeling when you go out to somewhere that you respect so much and you see how disrespectful other people are towards it. That's how I feel the same way. I mean, I definitely for the, oh, wow, rock slide.
Really?
Just a small one. Like definitely when I come out here and I see people dumping trash, there's very few things that make me that mad. Oh, wow. I wonder if it was an animal or if they just kicked it over the edge. The podcast probably can't hear a single thing.
Oh, no. These kids are...
Hopefully nobody's falling.
I think they're kicking rocks.
Oh, okay. Kick rocks. It's probably not the best thing to do. But just nobody down
there. You hoodlums. Okay.
Should we go chase them?
Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't like... I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily enjoy it. But yeah, I enjoy it.
I don't know if you're going to get like some fucking crazy high off of picking up trash.
It just pisses me off sometimes, so I just do it.
Yeah, I don't know if the reason even matters as much as just the fact that you do it because you want to surf there or whatever your reason is, but doing it is the important part.
I like a clean environment. Like, I don't know, there's something, like even like this like thing, like I didn't have to organize something. Like, who else, what other person organizes a beach cleanup? Like, they just want to get hammered and do shit, which is super fun. I like doing that too, but like
comes with like what we were talking about earlier, the fact that you are so independent means that you can take control over the aspects of your branding and personality that actually feel valuable. Yeah. Versus just being known as the guy who goes and gets fucked up all the time.
Yeah, true. And I mean, to each their own. Like, it's so fun to have fun, and like whatever your fun is awesome, but at the same time, like, I just wanted to wake up one morning. I was like, I should organize something. I feel like I have, like, fans that want to help out in California. Like, that'd be cool to help me out and just, like, pick up trash and stuff.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, guys.
But see, like, the thing is, like, I also don't have a super ton of money. Like, I was going to do a 5K, and then that I had to, like, rent out the boardwalk, and then that was going to cost a lot of money, and then I had to get, like...
What does it cost to rent out a fucking boardwalk?
It was probably going to be in the thousands. Because they still do it because it's still like a cleanup jogging thing, like whatever we call it, plogging, picking up trash while jogging. They told me that and I was like, I'm not calling it that. And then I was going to do a paddle out, but then I'd have to like rent a lifeguard, like multiple towers, and like it could also be humongous. And like, I don't want to take that liability. So the plan is we're going to go pick up trash, okay? Leave the park. And then if anybody else wants to surf after that, we just come back into the park and surf. Unofficial, but.
Yeah, just as you normally would.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that shit's important. I don't think you need to wake up being like, I want to fucking clean trash today in order for it to be just as useful for the world. You know, like there's some things that you need to like to do it. That's just one of those things where it's just like, it's not that you need to love the feeling of picking up trash, but you just got to hate the feeling of people being fucking assholes to the environment.
Yeah. I don't know inherently what's good with it, but I just feel like it should be gone from wherever it is. People are disrespectful and like whatever. I'll take up the blame for them. It's fine. Ashes to Amber. I just wish Ashes to Amber. I want to build Ashes to Amber to be like an army, good people who like to have fun and save things. That'd be so sick.
I feel like you're already building that. I think that you have an idea, like we were saying earlier, of what this should look like. And you've obviously found the success when it comes to the streaming platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are the opposite. They could have some big badass fucking Instagram that makes them look like this impressive human, but then can't fill a room and nobody actually listens to the music. At the end of the day, you're a musician, you're an artist, you're not just a face.
Right.
And I think the direction that you're doing it is probably a healthier alternative than having this. I talked to a friend of mine who did very, very well in other fields, built up a huge following, and then was doing her music for the first time publicly. And she goes, it's a lot harder.
Was it Doja Cat?
No.
Oh.
She goes, it's a lot harder to be new at something and fall when there's millions of people watching. And it's a pretty accurate sentiment, because you get to have this ability to not feel too precious with what you're doing and release the amount of music you're doing. And that's how you get better. And that's how you actually make this have longevity to it.
Yeah.
Instagram could go away and you're going to be fine.
That's
TikTok
sick.
Might go away.
I'm so down.
Yeah, me too.
I want to rule the world. No, I don't.
Girls.
Yeah, I'm not
Where's
a girl.
That run the world?
Yeah, I think that's actually, you just said something that stuck a nail in the wall of my feelings, because like, you're right. At some point, I don't need Instagram. I don't need it right now. Never did. And I'm using Instagram for the wrong reason. I'm trying to build it so I have more like people that follow me so I can seem more cool, even though like I have that elsewhere.
Would you feel more excited if you put out a song and a million people liked your Instagram video on it or your picture? Or would you be a lot more excited if you got those million in a day on your actual song being listened to and streamed?
Oh, the song being listened to and streamed.
I feel like that's... There you go.
Pizza is from Italy.
What?
It is.
It is from Italy.
Fun facts.
Sicilian.
If you're driving on a mountain road and you notice that the little flare caps, the things that shine bright, it's funny that you can just make up words like that. Flare caps. It sounds so sick. The little flare caps are now dug into the ground. That means you're at a high elevation. If you're in the wintertime, be careful. They put those there because they need the plows to, they don't want to scrape them off the road when they're blowing snow. So just know you're at a high elevation if you start seeing those things. Be careful. Another fun fact. Gas is commonly referred to as petrol in other parts of the world. Not in the United States, though.
Hey, man, you got a joke to end this out? Maybe, if they're lucky, we'll go hike up a little bit more and turn it back on.
Yeah. Well, actually, I want to talk about one more thing.
Go for it.
Aliens. I love aliens. Look at all of that up there. That's just, like, so big, but, like, so small compared to everything else. So they got to be there. They're out there. We were trying to talk about this last time, but, like, I want to find them. And it's weird, because I think that there's just, like, the things that we think are aliens, I think they have to do with people here.
How so?
I feel like aliens would have to be in a construct of something that's so unfathomable by your brain that you wouldn't even be able to, like, know they were there.
Mm.
Kind of like an angel or something. They're just, like, they're there in spirit, but you can't see them. So, like, the fact that we're like, holy, that UFO's mobbing. Like, that's things that we know that are built from, like, what we think are things. Like, yeah. We see metal, and we're like, yeah, but there's things out there that... metal, like there's so many things that exist that we don't know exist because we don't know that they exist. So like, how can we be like, that UFO has aliens in it? It could just be some weird thing, and maybe they are. I don't know,
but I feel you. I feel like there's a lot of what we're seeing is stuff that are probably ours that we don't want people to know are ours.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure we have the capability. Like, the government's super suspicious. If I disappear after this video, just know it's freaking them. Whoever they are.
The aliens or the government?
Big.
Big pharma?
No. Yeah, probably.
Big alien.
Big A. Big ashes.
Big ashes. Ashes yeah, to aliens.
I'm actually in the loom.
Yo, maybe that's the collab. Ashes to aliens.
I really wanted to kick that rock. How was that bad?
Kick rocks. I mean.
I wanted to go.
It's probably not the best for the degradation of.
This whole place is made of sandstone. So yeah, you're right. I'm not going to.
Right.
Okay, but yeah. Aliens are probably real, and I just wish I knew more about them so I could talk more in a fascinating sense. But a joke to end this out is, I think I just got to hit them with my classic The Krusty bus station one.
Get it. Get the OG
what
going.
What do you call?
Oh, yeah, that's a rock slide. It's crazy.
That was scary. Fuck that.
Yeah. Welcome to the mountains.
Why is everything all sliding and shit? Get me off of this thing. Cliff right there. What do you call the difference between a dirty bus stop and a crab with big tits? Big bosoms. One is a crusty bus station, and one is a busty crustacean. Thank you. This is an experiment.
We ending it here?
Yeah.
Let's end it, and then if we decide to pick it up in a few minutes, we will. Well, thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. We are back. We're going to be coming out with these a bunch more, far more regularly again. I appreciate you guys sticking with me. I was going through life, and I'm working really hard on doing better at it and waking up with a smile more often, and therefore getting to do the things that make me happy, like going to the mountains with my friends and doing podcasts. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you guys more than you could ever know. And to everybody out there, you remember what to say?
This is an experiment.
I'm Ashes to Amber, and this is an experiment.
I'm Ashes to Amber, and this is an experiment. Yeah. No, I'm Ashes to Amber, and this you is are. An experiment. And then people are just like, everybody,
Bradley.
I'm Ashes to Amber, and this is an experiment. I'm Ashes to Amber, and this is an experiment.
Love you guys. See you later. Bye.
The experience is the experiment.